This week on Out on the Air features Nashville-based musician Liz Longley about being dropped from her record label and using the Kickstarter campaign to buy back her completed album. Next, Allie Crawley Duncan, who's known as Allie the Piper, who is renowned for modernizing the great Highland bagpipe by blending classical rock and heavy metal. Our spotlight's in Lebesick Center for the Arts exhibit Connections, running March 6th through June 14th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight from the Lebesick Center for the Arts, its curator, Whitney Bradshaw. And she's going to discuss their upcoming exhibit that's going to be opening in March. But welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight and talking about Cosmic Connections.
Thanks, Larry and Esther. I'm so happy to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Talk about Cosmic Connections with you all. Do you want me to just give a little overview of the show?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the show. What's some of the artists that are going to be involved in it and even the concept of it?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think the show is going to be out of this world, so everybody should come and see it. it's called Cosmic Connections, and it opens on Friday, March 6th with a public reception from 5 to 8 p.m. The show is going to run through June 14th. And the show explores the work of three different artists, Ravi Arupa, Megan Green, and Michiko Itatani. These three artists, they all investigate the universe as sort of an improvisational creative process mirrored in our imagination, in human imagination and creativity. The artwork in the exhibition weaves together scientific, spiritual, and also subconscious insights that the artists bring to the work. And all of the work really invites the audience to reflect on their own connection to the cosmos. Each of the artists has a really different approach to their work. And you'll see in the exhibition graphite drawings by Ravi Arupa, as well as found material object sculptures by Ravi, and some self-portraits by Ravi. And then there's also going to be really large-scale oil paintings by Michiko Itatani. And by large scale, I mean like 8 foot.
Enormous.
Yeah. Oil paintings. And then
they're fantastical, really. I mean, I love the way you put these three artists together because it's such a great blending, especially reflecting on the cosmos and all that mystery.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited about it. It's a really great, diverse group of artists, you know? And so in addition to Ravi and Michiko, there's going to be these extraordinary drawings that are actually made by layered ink wash, colored ink washes, and then colored pencil by an artist named Megan Green. And so it's just a real interesting mix of materials. And then each person approaches the subject of the cosmos in a unique way. So, you know, Michiko's large scale paintings are really like, they imagine a sort of sci-fi vast galaxies and humanless interiors, like concert halls and libraries, even living rooms that kind of look up to the heavens and are sort of charged with a supernatural celestial phenomena. They're pretty extraordinary.
They are. They're really, because you are contained in this space, but the whole up is open, you know, the whole top of the painting.
Opens up. And there's no humans in any of it. So the stars are sort of like our souls, you know, we're all made of stardust. So that's what's magical anyway. And then Megan Green's drawings are really extraordinary because they're like super meticulous, really layered, vivid color. And they're kind of like, I think of them as kind of, you know, cataclysmic energy or, you know, solar storms in a way.
Right. It's like stars bursting or something. I don't know. It's really magical.
They're extraordinary. Yeah. And her like skill is just unbelievable. And then Ravi's work, you know, which I said is a sort of a mix of graphite drawings that are kind of abstract and obsessive, you know, are also connected to his like long-term investigation of self-portraiture that has to do with he's kind of interested in the spiral. Which is, you know, a form that's found in everything from DNA to weather systems to flowers to seashells. And he uses that as a symbol of like continuous change and creativity and spirituality and really is interested in the unity between our inner space and outer space. And so it's a really just a super interesting mix. And I don't think anybody can come into the show and not be like left totally inspired and really thinking about their connection to the universe.
Ravi's work is so thoughtful. It really makes you, you contemplate them because they, even though they're like a lot of them are self-portraits, I just kept studying them, trying to think, okay, where is this? What was he thinking about?
Yeah, so much about
they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, in our final moments here, we're going to give you a chance to talk about the dates of the show, how it's running, when you're doing a gallery talk, and such as that.
Great. Again, the Cosmic Connections, so excited about it. It opens Friday, March 6th to the public with a reception from 5 to 8 p.m. I'll be there. The artists, all three of the artists are meant to be there. And then I'll be giving a free tour, a curatorial tour of the exhibition on Saturday, March 14th at 11:30 a.m. Hope lots of people will come.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. That's Whitney Bradshaw. And you saw the events, March 6th, Cosmic Connections at Lebesnik Center for the Arts. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing what's going on there.
Thank you so much. I love talking to the two of you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Ember Forge Consulting. With end-to-end expertise in learning strategy, design, and implementation, Ember Forge turns your organization's knowledge into impact. To learn more, visit emberforgeconsulting.com. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
This is Howard Levy, musician, author, and educator, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are delighted to welcome Liz Longley to Art on the Air. Liz is a Nashville-based beloved singer-songwriter whose luscious words and music catch you off guard and transport. She has earned accolades from prestigious songwriting competitions in the country, including BMI John Lennon Songwriting Scholarship Competition. Her seventh studio album, New Life, was released in March of 2025. Her sixth album, Funeral for My Past, was self-released and made music industry headlines when she became the fourth most funded female musician in Kickstarter history. That story was carried in Billboard magazine. It was also included in 100 albums released in 2020 to put on your radar. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Liz. I have a huge confession. Funeral for My Past and New Life are, they were an alive river for me. I was dancing throughout both of those albums and deeply involved with the lyrics and music, which are really, really exquisite. Thank you so much for them.
Thank you so much. That's so kind.
Well, Liz, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
We always like to find out your origin story, and how I do that is tell us how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town outside of Philadelphia in a very musical household. My dad raised my brother and I on music, and I always joke that he was raised in a house where every child was lined up with a different instrument. And anytime anybody walked in the house, it was like they had to play for them. So my dad thought that was totally normal. And my brother and I were raised playing music for people that came to our house. And I fell in love with songwriting. That's when my life changed. When I was 14 years old, I fell in love with Joni Mitchell's Blue. And I knew that I wanted to not only sing and play, but I wanted to learn how to craft a song and to connect with people through music that way. And I knew at age 14 that this is what I wanted to do with my life. So I was very lucky to grow up in a house that supported and celebrated music. And I ended up going to school, specifically majoring in songwriting because I wanted to nerd out on it, at Berklee College of Music in Boston. And, you know, got in the trenches in the craft and eventually toured every summer and have been making music full time ever since. It's been my only job. I'm very lucky. And I've been in Nashville now since 2011. So it is my life. And I feel very grateful for that.
Oh, how lucky to hear Blue so young.
Yes. Very lucky.
Well, how I came to you is you had a Facebook, I don't know if you call it an ad, but a thing coming up where it was silent, but you were holding flip cards talking about how you label, you had to explain that. You got dropped from your label or however that worked out. And
yes,
that's what I thought, well, that's got to be a story that you would love to hear. So tell us about
it
that.
It is. Thank you. It is a story. It was one of the hardest moments in my life, but ended up being one of the best things that ever happened to me. So when I moved down to Nashville, I signed a record deal and all my musical dreams were coming true. I was making music with some of the most incredible musicians on Music Row and making albums. And I signed a record deal and I made several records with this label. And when I handed in Funeral for My Past, everyone there had changed. The people that signed me were no longer there. And essentially they said, we're not going to release this record, though it was completed. And I was very excited to put it out in the world. So they basically said, we're not going to release it, but you can buy it back from us and release it yourself if you'd like. Oh. And, you know, actually, as gut-wrenching as that sounds, I was very lucky that I was even given the opportunity to buy it back. The only sticky spot was that I didn't have the money to do so. So it was a lot of brainstorming on how to buy my music back. And eventually I decided to launch a Kickstarter campaign. And that's when 1,302 incredible music supporters showed up for me. The Kickstarter was funded the first day and it continued to skyrocket. And that's when I became the fourth most funded solo female musician in Kickstarter history. And I've been proudly independently releasing music ever since. And Funeral for My Past was such a success, even without the label, that it really reminded me that it's a gift to be able to share music. And however it gets out in the world is good. You know, you need a label.
So was that the title before all of this happened?
Isn't it strange? It is. And The song, the title track was written well before any of this happened. And now I think I have that theme in my songwriting where I write a song and then it ends up connecting with me in a different way, deeper over time for whatever reason. And that one in particular is a great case of that. Like I didn't know what I was about to be letting go of and that it would truly be the best thing for me. So one of the lyrics in the song is about letting go of the things that like are burdening you basically and letting the light in. And I feel like I was really lucky to be able to do that in this scenario because of the music lovers.
Well, you know what? Let's take a listen to it in just a moment. You're going to hear the cut Fine from that. Maybe tell us just a little bit about that particular track. And we'll go ahead and take a listen to it from Funeral.
Yeah, this is a song I wrote after going through a breakup and realizing that, you know, it was maybe the best thing for us, even though it was the hardest thing for us. And I love singing the song. I still sing the song every night. I love singing this one.
Okay. Well, let's take a listen to it. Liz Longley, and it's from the album Funeral for My Past, Fine.
So you got a job and bought a house and fell in love with someone else, alright, alright. Yeah, you're doing alright. You're doing alright. You and me, can we agree the best thing that we ever did was say goodbye? Though it killed us at the time. I've been thinking about the stupid mistakes that we made. And maybe it wasn't all a waste. All those nights we stayed up crying, fighting through the hardship, yelling at the top of our lungs. Maybe it was meant to be, 'cause now that you're not mine, you're doing fine. So you heard my tires screeching, came down the driveway screaming how you'd never love again. Do you know that's what you said? That's what you said. I couldn't get those sad words out of my head. Now won't you thank me for leaving? Giving up. Oh, you can hate the heart that hurt you, but I'm the one that showed you that baby you'd be better off. You deserve a better love. All those nights we stayed up crying, fighting through the hardship, yelling at the top of the lungs. But maybe it was meant to be, 'cause I know I was part of the pain that
was Fine from the album Funeral for My Past. Liz Longley, our guest today on Art in the Air.
So Liz, would you say that most of your songs are deeply autobiographical or a mixture of, you know, great songwriting and biography?
Most of them are songs about something I've lived through. And I find that the songs that connect the most with people are those. I mean, I have a few where I just kind of got creative and, you know, wrote a story and put it in a song. But the ones that are kind of tried and true are the ones that are deeply personal. For example, I wrote a song called Unraveling about my grandmother who had Alzheimer's. Mm. And when I wrote that song, I was too young to know like how common Alzheimer's is. And it felt like something my family was going through alone. So I really just wrote it for my family until, you know, I reached a point where my mom was like encouraging me to play it on stage. And as difficult as that was, that's become a song that's been, you know, a standard for me now, just because it feels so important to remind people that they're not alone in what they're going through. And so some of the songs that I wrote in my most deepest, darkest moments are the ones that, you know, feel like the most important to play.
Okay. And let's talk about your songwriting process. And, you know, I know coming from a musical theater background, they always ask composers, which comes first, the lyrics or the music? Or so, but tell us about your process.
I feel like every song starts with, or every song that ends up being finished starts with an overwhelming feeling, something that I feel like I need to get out and find clarity on. And like, as I'm writing the lyrics and as the melody's forming, they're being shaped together and they're helping me make sense of whatever I'm going through in my life at that time. But I'm not the kind of person that just gets like song titles in my head and then has to write it. I'm less of an idea person and more of a feeling person. And I kind of follow that feeling.
So that whole process, do you put down the words then and kind of a melody, or do you kind of, you know, pick up the guitar and kind of plunk it out? I mean, how?
Yeah, I usually get to the piano or the guitar and I start singing gibberish. You know, it's kind of, they kind of form together. It's kind of like a blob of music and gibberish until I have a clear sense of what I want to say. And when I land on that, then that gives me an anchor and I create around that. But some of my favorite songs to sing are the ones that I don't even really remember writing them. It's like almost like I was in a meditative state.
Right.
Because if I think too hard about it, then it loses something. So my best songs were written like relatively fast. But then I have songs like that took me years to complete that I wasn't willing to let go of. In particular, I have a tough time reeling in happy songs and getting them to the place where I want to sing them every night, where they're still relatable, because I don't want to just sing fluffy happy songs. So this song, So Good, it's on my latest record, and I literally was, you know, picking away at it for 7 years until I finally felt like it was in a place where I wanted to sing it every night.
Yeah, because it is quite bouncy.
Yes, it's bouncy, but it needed that. It needed like something, the tension, the tension and release in a song is really important to me. So if it were just going to be, oh, life is good. No, it had to be like, hey, life is hard and here's why, but here's why it's also great. You got to see the beauty in it. And so the pre-chorus in that song is what took me years to rein in.
Now you have a new inspiration in your life with a 3-month-old in the house, which I know we talked before. Yes. We were on air, is getting sleep. But you think there might be some inspiration coming from that little one?
Oh my gosh, he is such a little chunky, happy baby. Like everything I do makes him laugh, which is really fun. I always joke on stage that my daughter, when she was born, my husband and I are such music lovers. We thought, oh, she's going to love music too. And she would just cry whenever I would open my mouth to sing. And her first words to me were, all done. And so she was very clear that she did not want to hear me sing. And I started wondering if I, you know, overdid it through my pregnancy playing guitar maybe on her head, and she was over it by the time she was out. Now she's a huge music lover. It just took a little time. But my son is just, every time I even hum a note, his face lights up. It's so much fun. So it'll be fun to see what songs come from having another little one in our family.
So your first like the funeral for my past, that was in 2020, which is like COVID time.
Yeah.
And how is songwriting, like, can you compare songwriting during COVID time and baby time? mean, like, what does it do to your songwriting or your daily songwriting practice?
Yeah, I think now I have to be very intentional about carving out the time to create. Whereas before kids, before that, it was just kind of following every creative whim that I had. Now I'm really lucky to live in Nashville, where there are so many incredible songwriters, and a lot of my friends love co-writing. So we'll get together a couple times a month and write and see what happens. And lately I've been writing a lot of holiday music, because I released a Christmas record in 2020 as well. and it was so much fun. So I'm going to do that again this year and do a Christmas tour this year. So that's what I'm writing now, which is kind of funny. It's always funny to write Christmas songs in July, you know, but I've been writing them for a while now.
Is it an album of originals or?
Yes. Oh, yes. Wonderful. All originals. Yeah. I really love writing holiday themed music and looking at the holiday through different points of view, I guess. Yeah.
Well, we want to take a listen to your latest album, New Life, that you released last year. And the song we're going to listen to is so good. Just set that up for us and we'll take a listen.
Yeah, this is the song that I mentioned took me 7 years to write, but it's a song about being grateful for a good night. And I think we all have to look for the things we can celebrate these days. So this was my chance to do that.
Liz Longley's album, New Life, and this is So Good.
Baby, someday we're going to grow up when a while. Reckless ways wear off. We're gonna wonder where the time all went. Kicking ourselves for the money we spent. We'll have sunny days, dark days, rich days, broke days, birthdays, bad days, buffets and bellyaches. Some days I wonder how we ever survive. Some days I can't believe we live this life. But tonight we got it so good. How we got it? My God, we got it so good. Change it if we could, how we got it. It's good how we got it. My God, how we get it. So good, yeah. Baby, someday we might regret the wine and the weed and the cigarettes. Hey, who are we kidding? Why we ever do that? We're gonna live it up and never look back. Days worried what's next. 'Cause baby, who knows how many we get. Hey, yeah.
So Good on probably a year old album, New Life. And that's Liz Longley, our guest today on Art of the Air.
I would say it is so good. Yes.
Thank you.
So, Liz, what's coming up soon here? You know, we have a few minutes left here, but what do you have coming down this pike for us, touring and whatever else?
Yeah, this year is going to be full of shows around the country. I've got a lot of dates from here on out through the end of the year, particularly spiking up in December when I'll be doing another holiday tour. But I'll be on the internet too. I do a lot of live stream concerts from home for the places that I don't get to visit on tour. I have an amazing community on patreon.com where I share unreleased songs every month and do live streams, and I do cover songs every month. And it's a beautiful community of music lovers that has supported the longevity of my independent creative career. So that's what keeps me busy when I'm not on the road.
I love learning about your custom song offer. That is so beautiful.
Thank you. You know, it's funny that you say that, because that's how I got into writing Christmas music. Because one of the first custom songs I ever wrote was for a family who said, we want a song that sums up how we spend the holidays. And it was so, I just absolutely loved that project. And that's what inspired me to keep making holiday music. So yeah, I love writing songs for people for special moments in their life, like their weddings or their anniversaries. It's really special to me.
Well, we have just 1 minute left. Want people to know how they can find out about you, like websites, things like that, or reaching out to you if you can, and any yes. project coming up.
Absolutely. I am on Liz Longley. That's LizLongley.com. My tour dates are on there. I'm also on all the social media platforms. So come say hello, send me a message, and maybe I'll see you at a show someday.
And she's on Facebook. That's where I connected with her the very first time. Liz Longley.
Yes.
And you can see her at LizLongley.com and on her website where her picture is. You click on it, it'll take you right there. And her latest album, of course, is New Life from last year. And she's really anxious to hear the Christmas stuff, too. That'd be great. Liz, thank you so much for coming on Art of the Air and sharing your music journey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Art of the Year listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
This is Raina Duras, host of World Cafe, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM. And on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are happy to welcome Allie Crowley Duncan to Art on the Air. Allie is known as Allie the Piper. She is talented on a wide variety of instruments, but her main focus is the Great Highland Bagpipe. She started playing bagpipes at age 14 and became world champion at 16 years old. Allie is a social media wonder who blends classic rock and heavy metal with Celtic influences, captivating audiences worldwide. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Allie. It's fantastic meeting you. I have to say, I love the video at Loch Ness. It was just so beautiful.
Thank you. It was an amazing experience to be playing bagpipes in their ancestral home and just to be out by, we were at Urquhart Castle, so it was old, really, really dilapidated castle, really just preserved history, nothing done to it. And of course, the windy breeze of Loch Ness.
It was beautiful watching you, but I have to say my eyes were also on the loch as well.
Fair enough. It's just beautiful.
Well, our first question we always ask our guests is their origin story, how they got from where they were to where they are now. So tell us all about how Allie got here now.
It is actually a popular question, a popular story to invite to be told, because had as a teenager, a young teenage girl of all things in America, end up being a professional full-time touring bagpiper. You're about to find out. So I was born in upstate New York, and I grew up there just outside of Albany in Latham, and I lived there for my entire childhood. And I started playing music at a pretty young age. My first instrument, though, was piano, and I cycled through many normal instruments before I landed on the bagpipes. My mom took me to my neighbor's house, and he had a keyboard in his living room. And the first memory I have of really loving music was playing that keyboard. And I would just ask to go over all the time. I wanted to keep going over and visiting and visiting. And eventually my mom got me my own keyboard, and then she got me into lessons, and the love really cemented there. So I was about 6 years old, I believe, when I started piano lessons, and music has just been my first language forever. It was how I always chose to express myself. And then I started learning other instruments once I got into school. So they line you up and let you choose, and I chose clarinet. And I really enjoyed clarinet, but once I learned, you know, for a couple of years and realized that jazz existed, I really wanted to switch to saxophone. So I started playing clarinet and bass clarinet in middle school. And then I took saxophone lessons and started playing alto saxophone through middle school. And then they were like, oh, you know, she can play bass clarinet. Why not give her the baritone saxophone, which was larger than my body? It was humongous, but I actually loved it. And so I think those were really important moments because they really helped to increase my lung capacity, which I needed later. So this is all around when I was 12 years old, and then I started asking for flute and oboe lessons as well. Wow. And I took them from other students in school also, and so I learned a lot of the woodwinds. I just love the woodwind family. Anything with a reed, really, really felt connected to it. I love breathing into an instrument, and then sound comes out of it magically. I think it's kind of just a miracle that we've made something like that as humans. So I love the woodwinds. And then at 12 years old, my stepdad, this is separate from music, my stepdad legally adopted me through the court system in the States here. So I went through all of that and I got a new last name, which is why my last name is hyphenated. And I wanted to get connected more with the new heritage that I had just literally been adopted into. And I spoke to my grandmother about this, his mother, and Grandma Duncan brought me into their office and opened up this giant chest in the room, and it was stocked full to the brim with all of these different pieces she had collected over the years of their heritage and their history. And there was a book in there dating back to the 1400s with their lineage dating back to Scotland and all of the names.
Wow. And
there was a swatch of the Duncan tartan, as well as the family crest. And she said, this is who you are now. This is part of who you are and part of who is you. And I thought that was really amazing. And I had never really seen culture be preserved and celebrated quite like that. So I wanted to learn more. So I started doing my own research on YouTube. And YouTube is where the bagpipes found me, because every single Scottish history video is soundtracked by none other than the Great Highland Bagpipe. And this is what I tell everybody: as soon as I found out that it was a woodwind, fate was sealed. So, weirdest woodwind I've ever met in my life. But yes, I begged my mom for lessons, and I started taking lessons when I was 14. I can't believe the luck we had. There was a world-class youth program in Albany, New York.
Wow.
For teaching kids how to play bagpipes. And they almost didn't take me because I was 14 and obviously would age out of the program by 18. So I was considered too old. But, which is, again, crazy to think about when you picture a bagpiper. But yeah, they took me on because of my background with music. So I knew how to read and I knew rhythm, and I got to skip some of the learning fundamentals of music. And I'm really glad they took me on, because I went on to teach them for many years after the fact. And my first students as a teacher myself went on to win the world championships with the later year of that same band. So, two-time world champion band. And I've been really, really lucky to be a part of a program quite like that.
So your approach to the bagpipes is completely different. You know, most people think about what Scotland the Brave, and that's how it's played. And of course, I listened to one sample that you did of that with helium, so that was funny. Yeah, that was very cute. But yeah, how did you decide, okay, I'm going to really venture, take the bagpipe into, to me, a whole new area of rock music and into like even, you know, metal?
Yeah, that's the really fun part of the story, because a lot of it was an accident. At 16, this is the very, very intro to kind of playing bagpipes in the abnormal. But at 16, I started a band with my friends in school, as many of us do as musicians. And it was made up of whoever we had. So we had drums, we had bass, we did not have guitar, but we did have a horn section, which had trumpets and saxophones and trombones. And then there was me, our lead singer slash keys slash bagpiper, which is just the most random kind of fluctuating player you can have in a band. But we did what we could. And we decided to enter into our school's talent show in 10th grade. And we wanted to play something that would be recognizable to people. So we arranged a cover of Lowrider and played it. And people thought it was just crazy, thought it was so fun. And to hear something like that on the bagpipes was also really fun for people. So we won the talent show, and then people started asking us to do gigs, and we started arranging more and more and more. And then the years following talent show was where it really started to settle in. And I said, hey guys, what if we did this year a cover of Crazy Train? And we did just that. So over 10 years, 13 years ago is the first time I arranged Crazy Train for the bagpipes. And it was so fun. It was incredible. It kind of blew up a little bit and we made t-shirts. And the band, by the way, was called Pipin' Hot. So we had a lot of fun with it. But we did disband after high school when we all graduated. And I kind of put that in a little pocket and didn't really touch any of that again. And then social media starts to come into the picture with COVID-19. So the pandemic shuts everything down. All of my gigs are canceled. I'm not teaching in person anymore. It's everything is shut down. We're locked up at home. So I wanted to create a new practice routine for myself because as a person, I find it really hard to channel into internal discipline and, you know, convince myself to play.
That's so hard to believe, actually, because your dedication from like 6 years old to play all those instruments like almost makes me think the opposite is.
It's true. It manifests in different ways. For me, it's, you know, being able to perform for a loved one when they come over for Christmas. That's enough of an incentive for me to practice because I love to perform, truly, is what it boils down to. And when there's nobody to perform for, it makes it really hard to pick up your instrument and just play. So I wanted to start playing online and create some sort of accountability for myself so I could see I only posted one video this week. I need to do better next time. So I posted my first video and it was not meant to be anything special. I didn't really warm up. I just played and it had been the first time I played in months, truly. And that video got 150,000 views overnight, which was an accident because I didn't have any followers. And I was on an app where none of my friends were because I didn't want my friends to see this. So that miserably for me, I got a lot of text messages, okay? But I took it as an opportunity and I started reading the comments and a lot of people were feeling very connected to the culture and heritage that they were missing because everything was shut down during COVID and nobody was hearing bagpipes anywhere. So I started playing for people. And again, that just sparked the love for performing that I have and sharing my love for the instrument that, you know, not everybody cares for. And that's really where it started. And as it continued on and I ran out of my traditional tunes to play, I decided to kind of sneak in a little bit of the unconventional that I also love. And it really took off and people really enjoyed it.
And you mentioned Crazy Train. Why don't we take a quick listen? You actually set it all up for us. So let's go ahead and take a quick listen to Crazy Train. And we have Ellie the Piper. And that was Allie the Piper, who's our guest today on Art on the Air. That was Crazy Train, Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM and WVLP 103.1 FM. You started on embarking on this, and you really, that's where I connected with you originally, seeing you on social media, regularly posting, and it seems like, I think, probably your apartment and everything, and doing things, but I especially with Crazy Train, loved the video that went along with that. That was really remarkable. That was really something. Did you make that some years later than when you first did that song?
I believe it was about a year after I had released Crazy Train that I made the video for it. And I was really fortunate with how everything worked out. I was performing for the Pittsburgh Irish Festival, which takes place at an amazing location in Pittsburgh called the Cary Blast Furnace. And it's an old steel mill. And one of my friends from college was in the area and lives in the area, and we were at the festival, which took place in the area. And so all stars aligned, and I got the permission to film my video there. It's crazy. I can't believe that I was even there to begin with, let alone to have it documented and filmed like that. So that was an amazing experience. And I actually just filmed another video that might rival that one. For my new favorite, I filmed it out in Germany for a cover that I'm going to be releasing at the end of April or at the beginning of May, and it's also pretty epic. And if people like that video, then they're gonna love the next one.
So I have a question about, so not only do you do covers of these really well-known things, you also write music as well. And so North to Palmer, I think, is one of those. Can you describe the process of doing North to Palmer?
Absolutely. So when I released my album, The Session, last March, I wanted to write an album that kind of helped me start fresh. I had a lot of really big changes in my life and in my career, and I wanted to really pay nod to my roots and all of the things that really feed me musically and feed my soul. And those things are the traditional world, the competitive world, the folk world, also the rock world. And I had many years where I loved playing the Irish tin whistle. I played in a band out of New York City for a little while as a teenager, and I'm actually self-taught on the Irish tin whistle, and I love incorporating it as a harmony instrument in most of my work. It's in many things. It's in my cover of Freebird. It's in my cover of She's a Pirate, and they're kind of just always in the background. And so I wanted to take it further and give it a feature, and so North to Palmer was just that. And it features the tin whistle, of course, at the beginning, and then there's a huge bagpipe section in the middle, and then it goes back, but it's a little bit more traditional than the rock stuff, but the whole support of it is still a classic rock kind of feel. And so it kind of married together what I've been doing with where I started. And that's kind of the theme and the voice of the entire album.
Well, let's take a quick listen to that. This is Road to Palmer with our guest today, Allie the Piper. And it's Allie the Piper on North to Palmer on Art on the Air today and telling us about how she's taking the bagpipe out of Scotland, kind of, and into a whole mainstream area for us.
And that when you get such a pure, seamless sound, it's just so beautiful. That opening is just exquisitely gorgeous.
Thank you. It's actually, there's a fun story with it, particularly the name. So right after we had written that tune, I went and performed at a festival in Alaska. And it was my first time in Alaska, and the landscape was just absolutely beautiful. And I was listening to the tune and kind of practicing it in the passenger seat of the car. And I'm like, we're going to debut this here in Alaska, because I wanted to do something new, you know? And I had no name for it. And the GPS popped up and said, in 0.3 miles, north to Palmer. And I said, that's it. Oh,
that's so wonderful.
And a lot of the harmonies and a lot of the shaping is really inspired by the beauty of all of the mountains from where I was on stage and what I could see from stage. And actually, my logo and the logo on my kick drum head is a picture of me holding the bagpipes over my head. And that was also from a photo that was taken from behind at that same show. So a lot of that really ties into both the record and the logo and all of the things that shaped 2025 for my year as an artist.
So what's coming up? And we only got about a couple of minutes left here, believe it or not, Allie. What's coming up in terms of performance and your performance schedule? Also, maybe share your website and how people can find out about you. I mean, it should be very easy if they put Allie the Piper in a Google search.
Yes, yeah, so I have a lot of things that are going to be announced at the end of March after St. Patrick's Day. So unfortunately, I can't give too much away, but I have a lot of festivals and some great venue shows coming up this year. And all of them will be updated regularly on my website, which is piperally.com, P-I-P-E-R-A-L-L-Y.com. For right now, I can let you know that I will be at Celtic Fling, and that is in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. I have a lot of stuff kind of by the DC and Philly area coming up.
Nothing Midwest?
I will be in Livonia, Michigan in June. And I do have a couple other things, but those are going to be announced a little bit later because we're kind of narrowing those down. But I have a lot of really fun stuff. I'll be in North Carolina this year. I'll be in Pittsburgh, other cities in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Washington, D.C. There's some New York. Yeah, there's a lot going on this year. And of course, I'll also be over in Scotland. I'll be in Edinburgh for my true debut full-length show in Scotland and in the UK in May. Oh, I'm also going to New Mexico, which will be a new state for me to perform in. So lots of new things scattered all about the globe. And I'm really excited to hit some new places and to play new music. And I am releasing a new album in September of this year, which will have Crazy Train on it, as well as some heavier originals and a couple other covers that can't give away quite yet.
We appreciate you coming on Art in the Air and sharing your dynamic music style. It's completely different. So we took the bagpipe to a whole different level. We really appreciate you sharing that. Our guest today is Allie Crawley Duncan, who told us her story, how she really inherited that. And she's known as Allie the Piper. Thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Dee Dotson, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Media, and to Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Ember Forge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com. patreon.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the